What is up, and welcome into the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined as always with my two co-hosts, John Kegley and David Drogemeyer. We're three writers from San Diego Sports Domination, San Diego's top sports blog, who have been covering the Chargers for four seasons now, doing our own weekly Facebook live show, Chargers Domination Live. And this is our second season with the Locked On Chargers podcast, bringing you your team every day. All right, guys, you know what it is. It is Wednesday, so that means it's Crossover Wednesday, and we're going to be talking with Cody Rourke of the Locked On Broncos podcast to break down this weekend's game. So in the first segment, though, we're going to get into some news because the Chargers had a couple of additions. So we're going to go ahead and get into that. To start the show, the Chargers signed a new kicker, and they also elevated a tight end from the practice squad to the active roster. So we'll get into that first, and then we'll talk with Cody Rourke about what the Chargers are going to try to do offensively against the Broncos and how the Broncos are going to go against it, and vice versa with Cody Rourke from Locked On Broncos. But let's go ahead and get into it. This is your Locked On Chargers lead story. I'm Daniel Wade, joined by David Drogemeyer. The news today is that the Chargers made a couple of moves to the roster, and the first one that happened was the Chargers elevating tight end Steven Anderson to the active roster, the veteran tight end who's been in the league for a few seasons. Most notably was with Houston in 2017 and appeared in 15 games and caught 25 passes for 342 yards and a touchdown with Houston. So he has some production in the NFL. That production right there is already much more than Sean Culkin had in his young career. I know many fans wanted to see Antonio Gates, but it looks like that's officially in the books. I don't think they're going to try and bring him back at this point with all the injuries they've already had, including Sean Culkin tearing his Achilles, which led to the Chargers making this move with Steven Anderson. So, David, the Chargers bring in another tight end. So now it's him, Lance Kendricks, and Virgil Green, and we're not sure about Virgil Green's health at this point. Not a move in any way that's really going to change the Chargers' perception. They're still very weak at the position.
They're definitely weak at the position, and nothing makes that more clear than them trying their fullback, Derek Watt, at tight end. And yeah, there's just a lot of uncertainty. You know, you don't know when Hunter Henry's going to come back. You don't know what's going on with Virgil Green. You know that Sean Culkin's gone for the year, and you got Lance Kendricks, who's just been here for a couple of weeks. So they're just a very thin position, but they had to add a body to that position just because you need that backup, and unfortunately players on this team have been dropping like flies. So this is definitely not somebody who gets you excited in any way as a fan. He's a warm body. They had to have somebody at that position because they're just so ultra thin.
Yeah, and the original timetable on Hunter Henry was approximately 4 to 6 weeks. We are coming up on the fourth week, so he could be back soon, but we haven't heard any updates on that. But the other addition was very interesting as well, David, because the Chargers elected to bring in kicker Chase McLaughlin. We saw Ty Long kicking field goals and punting and doing kickoffs. Ty Long was doing it all for the Chargers. And now with the report saying that Michael Badgley is going to still miss a few more weeks, probably, the move makes sense because it's just too hard to ask a kicker for this long in a season to punt and place kick and do kickoffs. It's really just too much to ask of Ty Long, who did really good in the absence of Michael Badgley outside of one game against the Lions. But the Chargers were tempting fate by only having one kicker on the roster, David. So they had to bring someone in.
Yeah, no, they had to bring somebody in. And part of that is because Ty Long himself was coming up lame in this past game against the Dolphins. And so after him absolutely doing everything, like you mentioned, I think this move was partly to try to take some of that stuff off of his plate and just say, hey, Ty Long, we know you're hurting. Stick in there with us. Keep performing as a punter, but we're going to go ahead and let somebody else come in and take care of the place kicking and the field goals. And I think that was part of this move. And also just the uncertainty with Michael Badgley. You just don't know. Those soft tissue injuries, they all have different timelines. They all heal at different intervals. You just don't know when he's going to come back. There's not a lot of money tied up in this move. So whether they cut him when Michael Badgley is healthy again or not, it doesn't really matter. I just think it was probably a good move. Try to keep the kickers you do have on the roster healthy.
And now you have three kickers on the roster, if you include Ty Long, with Michael Badgley still out from that injury. And in college, his senior season at Illinois, he was the Big Ten kicker of the year. He hit 80% of his field goals that season, including being 4 of 6 on field goals beyond 50 yards, which is something the NFL teams absolutely covet. He made all of his extra points. And in the preseason with the Buffalo Bills, he made every field goal that he attempted, including a 54-yarder, and made all 5 extra points, which are not a given anymore in this league. So it seems like they brought in a guy who can absolutely get the job done. But we all know once the lights are on and the pressure sets in, it's much harder to do the kicking, especially when you're with the Chargers, who have had so many kicking woes in the past. And right now, he better come in and make kicks, because if he doesn't, then it's going to put even more scrutiny on the Chargers front office and coaching staff, because it'll be another failed attempt at finding a kicker. But we do have 2 more segments to get into with the crossover episode of the week with Cody Rourke and Locked On Broncos discussing this game in depth. But before we get into that, I needed to tell you guys that you should be excited about getting a free offer from BlueChew.com. That's a blue, like the color blue. Blue Chew is the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, so you know they work. You can take them anytime, day or night, even on a full stomach. And since they're chewable, they work up to twice as fast as a pill, so you can always be ready whenever an opportunity arises. Blue Chew is prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package, so no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in line at the pharmacy, and best of all, no more awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew ships direct to you, they're much cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, like I told you guys before, you can get it for free when you go to BlueChew.com and enter the promo code LOCKEDON. All you have to do is pay $5 in shipping. Again, that's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. And since we're already talking about football, I need to tell you guys that if you're going to bet on football this season, there's only one place in Locked On Chargers book that you should go and actually bet on these games, and that is my bookie. I don't know about you guys, but for me, a game is 10 times more exciting when I'm putting money on it, because sometimes I have a gut feeling about a matchup, and sometimes I'm betting on my team just because they're my team. Regardless, whether you've been betting for years or you're ready to play for the first time, MyBookie is your best bet this season. Between football season, the MLB playoffs, and the start of NBA and the NHL, it's time to get off the sidelines and get in on the action. If you really want to support your team this season, don't be one of those guys who sits on the sideline. Get in the game with MyBookie. And if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That means you put in $100, they will match that $100 for you when you use the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, to activate the offer. That's promo code LOCKEDON to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today, because when you play with MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another crossover series here at the Locked On NFL Network. The AFC West has a tough matchup on the road as the Broncos get ready to travel to LA to take on Phillip Rivers and the Chargers. I'm joined by the Locked On Chargers hosts and co-hosts John Kegley and Daniel Wade. Fellas, thank you for joining me here on this beautiful day wherever you're at, crossover Wednesday. Very excited to break this matchup down with you guys.
Yeah, Cody, it's good to be here, man. I wasn't here the last time we did the crossover with the Broncos, so I'm excited to sit down with you today and go over this game, because it's a huge game for both teams.
It really is. And when you take a look at the offense and defensive side of the ball, these teams are a little different in terms of maybe where they were at last season in comparison to this season. The Broncos, different quarterback, Joe Flacco, Phillip Rivers still doing the same old thing for the LA Chargers. Both teams have had some struggles. The Chargers have been up and down, obviously coming off a big win against the Miami Dolphins, having a couple road losses there to the Detroit Lions. But really, we're going to analyze in this matchup right here. The Chargers have the ball on offense. Phillip Rivers is under center or in the shotgun, and Melvin Gordon's back, Austin Eckler. What can we expect from the LA Chargers offense against this Broncos defense?
We have so many injuries that you're going to see a lot of new stuff this week. You're probably going to see a lot of guys like Andre Patton and Jeremy Davis. They're going to be catching the ball compared to Mike Williams running intermediate routes. But you will definitely see Keenan Allen, his quick off the line of scrimmage route running that gets him open a lot. They're going to see a lot of that. But Jeremy Davis and Andre Patton run routes differently than Mike Williams and Travis Benjamin do. So you're going to see a different offense than you have all year. But we're going to have a whole new set of tight ends, basically. We have Lance Kendricks, who's been on the team for a couple of weeks, and we just got a practice squad tight end signed to the roster because we've lost Hunter Henry already for a few weeks. Sean Colkin's out for the year. Virgil Green's probably going to miss this game as well. So you're going to see a bunch of third and fourth stringers really playing, but it's going to be a different offense than you've seen all year. And maybe you might see Melvin Gordon coming in, but the thing the Broncos are going to have to watch for is a lot of Austin Ekeler running the ball and a lot of Austin Ekeler catching the ball. That's going to be the heart and soul of the offense. And once that gets going, Keenan Allen gets open.
Do you think that the Chargers in this matchup will try to get Melvin Gordon a little bit more involved, given the fact that he was on a limited basis last week despite him returning to the field essentially earlier than anybody had expected? The rise of Austin Ekeler and the talent that they've had at the running back position, they really haven't missed him, and so adding him in is just another wrinkle there. But, you know, is there any – what's going on between that? Because I saw that Anthony Lynn had mentioned that Melvin Gordon will step into the primary role at running back. I don't know. If I'm Austin Ekeler, I don't know how I'd feel about that.
I don't know how I would feel about that either. I mean, especially with just how productive he's been. And I mean, ranking very highly on just yards from scrimmage per game. He's top five in the NFL for running backs. It's hard to be more productive than that. And I think that's why when you talk about the importance of Melvin Gordon, it has a lot to do with what you're replacing him with. When it's Michael Davis that goes out, you replace him with Brandon Faison. So it's just a less gap between those two players that really has mitigated the difference. But Melvin Gordon does bring a style that neither of the two backs, Justin Jackson and Austin Ekeler, have this year. He's more of that power runner. He can break four tackles and break a 30-yard gain. They don't really have that necessarily in the backfield right now. But I would be extremely upset if I'm Austin Ekeler. Obviously, in public, you can't say that. But with how productive he's been, I don't think that Melvin Gordon will ever get back to the lion's share of the work that he had before his holdout. I don't think he's going to get a 70% touch share with those other two running backs. I expect both of those players, when Justin Jackson gets healthy again, to maintain a very large role in this offense. And even though Anthony Lynn says that about Melvin Gordon, I still think these other guys will be very heavily involved.
Well, I also want to shift things over now to the offensive line. You look at the Chargers all across the board. The Broncos defensively are going to be without a key player in Bradley Chubb, who tore his ACL. He is going to be out for the rest of the season. What can we expect from the Chargers O-line? And give us a little bit of a pulse on the offensive line and where they're at as a unit.
Well, they're not really the greatest group. There's a lot of penalties and a lot of missed blocks that happen amongst those guys. Trent Scott and Sam Tevy being the tackles is probably the worst part of that whole offensive line, which matches up well for the Broncos. If they had Bradley Chubb to go with Von Miller, they would have had probably a nice little feast. But without Bradley Chubb, Von Miller might have his best game of the year so far. But the thing about that is Trent Scott and Sam Tevy have shown that sometimes they turn it on out of nowhere. Last year, Trent Scott started one game against the Raiders and did okay. Sam Tevy has had a couple of games where he's looked okay. So could this be the game where they finally step up? It's hard to say. They're so inconsistent, but most of the time they're really bad in hold. Dan Feeney's gotten a lot of holding calls. He's had one elite grade game this year. And other than that, he's been getting holding penalties, missing blocks. Mike Pouncey's basically your star offensive lineman. He's not even elite. He's just pretty good. And even he's had some struggles this year. And then Michael Schofield, I don't think he belongs at right guard, but he's doing better than Feeney is. It's just a giant mess on the offensive line. The Broncos should have a fun day rushing the QB in this game. But if you don't have the support in the backfield from your linebackers and cornerbacks, then that pass rush means nothing with Phillip Rivers being really good under pressure.
Well, I think the Chargers, if I had to estimate from a defensive-minded coach's perspective, I know that Phillip Rivers is going to try to get the ball out of his hands very quickly. If you allow him extra time in the pocket, he's going to find the open guy, especially when the Chargers, they'll go trips to one side and they'll run number two up the middle and they'll cut number one over across the field on a slant or a drag route, these crossing and these pick routes, that's their bread and butter. And Phillip Rivers, I mean, he diagnoses it against man coverage, against zone coverage. He identifies where to go. So the Broncos have to be really, really discreet in what they do defensively. They can't be out of position. And obviously you got to factor in the health of Kareem Jackson. Hopefully he can play in this matchup. As of right now, he's questionable with a hamstring issue. You lose Bradley Chubb for the whole year. Look for Malik Reed and Jeremiah Tachu to also be there. The Broncos just signed him yesterday to a deal. Played for the New York Jets last year. Look for them to get things, you know, involved a little bit more. Look for some more disguise coverages and blitzes. And look for, hopefully, Josie Jewell, if he can come back and be healthy without dealing with that hamstring issue himself, then I think the Broncos have a good chance to kind of counteract. But they can't find themselves in situations where they're going cover zero and they're trying to cover Austin Ekeler or even Melvin Gordon out of the backfield, because last year it didn't work out well for them. And they got to disguise things. There were times where they disguised things in the Week 17 matchup in their coverages and their blitzes. They were able to get pressure on Phillip Rivers, throw, force some incompletions, and obviously throw an interception from Phillip Rivers to Isaac Yiadom. So I think the Broncos have got to take a little bit of the same game plan a little bit. I think they're more talented this year on defense than they were last year. They got a lot of key guys back in that action, but the biggest test is Phillip Rivers. He's a smart guy. He's going to check out of things. Him and Von Miller, Chris Harris Jr., they always have great battles. They love going against each other. So when the Broncos defense is on the field against the Chargers offense, these guys are going to have a very, very fun dynamic relationship. Tony Romo, obviously Jim Nance, is going to be on the booth calling the game. It's going to be fun to watch and listen to those guys break things down. But we're going to get into our next segment here in just a moment, where we talk about the Broncos offense when they have the ball against the Chargers defense, what to expect. Melvin Ingram, one of those guys, he went down with an injury, his status up in the air, potentially out for this matchup. We're going to break that down a little bit more. All right, the Broncos are on offense. Joe Flacco has the ball under center. You've got Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay in the backfield. You have Cortland Sutton, Emmanuel Sanders split out wide. The Broncos offense, they've been a much better unit, guys. If I'm going to be frankly honest here, they've been a better unit than what they've been in the last couple years. Joe Flacco is, I believe, ranked eighth right now in the National Football League in terms of QBR. He's looked decent. There's been times where the Broncos offensive line has struggled with holding penalties, but that hasn't been an issue for the last 2 weeks. The Broncos' biggest issue is that they got absolutely throttled on defense last week by Jacksonville. The offense only had two possessions in the third quarter, and then the one possession they had in the fourth quarter, Joe Flacco led a go-ahead drive, which if the Broncos held on, the Broncos would have won. But unfortunately, the defense couldn't hold up, and so goes history. They lose on a last-second field goal. So what can we expect from this Chargers defense? It's very aggressive. They love to send pressure at the quarterback. They love to lock up in their secondary. And also, you got to wonder the question of Melvin Ingram. What's the status on him from you guys that you can give all of us over here in Broncos country?
So the status on Melvin Ingram right now is that his hamstring injury is likely to cost him a few weeks. So a very small chance, probably non-existent chance, that he plays this week against the Broncos. So definitely good news for the Broncos, and a very bad news for the Chargers pass rush, who did figure some things out last week with pressure. They actually weren't bringing very much pressure before the second half of the last game, but those slot blitzes off the edge with Desmond King, who as a slot corner had 2.5 sacks last week. You have to think that that's going to be in the game plan. But the Chargers pass rush before last game was abysmal. I mean, with the two guys they have out there in Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram, it was very subpar. Both of those guys have struggled to get pressure this year, and the Chargers have struggled to get pressure with only four down linemen. So Uchenna Nwosu is going to pick up some of that slack. Isaac Rochelle, a former seventh round pick, is going to pick up some of that slack, but neither one of those guys can realistically fill in for what Melvin Ingram was able to do, not only getting after the passer, but just being an all-around good player and a pretty versatile guy that can get up and down the line pretty quickly. So the Chargers are definitely going to miss Melvin Ingram this week, who would have had a pretty nice matchup against Garrett Bowles in this game.
So for the Broncos, too, they really got to counteract that, because even if you're missing Melvin Ingram, you still have Joey Bosa, who's very dynamic. Now, the question I have for you guys is, what has it been like for the Chargers defense without Derwin James, who, in my opinion, last year, watching him, I felt like he was a defensive player of the year candidate. He should have been a guy that, you know, I had him as an early dark horse defensive player of the year candidate this year, until obviously he had that major injury that's going to sideline him for several more weeks throughout the regular season. Who's been stepping up for him at the defensive backfield, at his strong safety position, the hybrid player? And also, what can we expect from them against the Broncos?
Well, you can't really say anybody's really stepped up in that role because everyone that steps up gets hurt. We've had Adrian Phillips, who was supposed to be the dime linebacker type of player, now take over Derwin James' spot, and then he breaks his forearm, so now he's on injured reserve. So now you got to deal with Rayshon Jenkins, Azeer Adderley, and Roderick Teamer all rotating around in that safety, those safety spots. And we want to see more of Azeer Adderley. I'm sure Wade will agree with me on this. We want to see more of Azeer Adderley and see what he can do at the free safety position and see who can just step up in strong safety between maybe Teamer, Jenkins, or even somebody else if you want to exercise some other people. I mean, I hear we're exercising Derek Watt at tight end. He's our fullback, so who knows what we could do at safety with Anthony Lynn as head coach. But nobody's really filled in that role. Without Derwin James, the running game has been suffering a lot. He usually was able to come up from that safety spot and stop the run. Interceptions aren't there. The safety blitz sacks just aren't happening like they did. There's a lot of stuff missing on this defense. For those that thought Derwin James was really good but never really knew, if you've been watching the Charger games, you can just tell that the excitement isn't there. All the big plays aren't there. Just the guys running around having fun just isn't there. It's like they're missing their leader on defense.
One more question I want to ask you guys here too. You know, I think this is going to end up being a battle between the trenches. I think it's really between two running attacks. We know that Phillip Rivers can be deadly in the passing game as well. I think the Broncos are going to try to run the ball in this game effectively. They're going to try to control the clock, control the tempo, and obviously in passing situations, hopefully Joe Flacco can find the open man. But really, you take a look at the interior pass rush for the Chargers. We look at the interior of the Broncos offensive line. You got obviously Connor McGovern at center. You've got Ron Leary at right guard, and you got rookie Dalton Reisner at left guard. These guys have been the most impressive standouts for the Broncos O-line so far this year. And you're also going to be dealing with Garrett Bowles at left tackle, which we've talked about. There's a dilemma with him in terms of holding and obviously technique. He's done good the last couple of weeks, so that's a better improvement for him. But I want to take a look at the defensive line here for the LA Chargers against this interior of the Broncos O-line and Jerry Tillery, one of their draft picks. What can you guys say about him in this matchup? Because in my opinion, on film, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking that he might be a guy that could cause some trouble.
Well, you saw last week he had a little bit better of a game, but that's not saying very much for Jerry Tillery. I think last week in 18 pass rush attempts, he had one pressure and ended up with half of a sack. That was the only production that he's had this year. The interior defensive line for the Chargers was supposed to be much better this year, stopping the run with Justin Jones, a former third round pick, helping out and really having an offseason transformation, and that really hasn't taken effect on the field. Brandon Mebane has been okay, and it's basically the status quo for him, but that's nothing flashy. And the Chargers' interior pass rush has been totally non-existent this year. They have 1.5 sacks between all of them. That's not going to get it done. I think that is a definite strength for the Broncos in this game. And I think even though the Broncos have been a pretty average running team so far this season, I think physically they could have a very big game just running straight behind the center, just with the lack of push the Chargers have been able to get with those defensive tackles and the lack of the linebackers being athletic and fast enough to fill those holes before the running backs already, you know, 6, 7, 8 yards down the field. They've given up a lot of gash plays in the running game so far this season. So I liked Jerry Tillery a lot out of college, and I think it's still too soon to tell, but the production from him has been pretty subpar so far this season. And I just don't know at this point if you can really count on that week in and week out.
Between these two teams, obviously they're looking for some momentum. The Chargers coming off a win, the Broncos coming off a loss, and an 0-4 start sitting at the bottom of the AFC West. The Broncos on the road this weekend at LA to take on Phillip Rivers and the veteran experience he has there. Keenan Allen, obviously going to be a big feature, a guy who is, you know, in my opinion, the best wide receiver in the National Football League. His ability to get open, his route running, his step off the line. This is going to be a tough challenge. And Chris Harris Jr., I think, is going to follow him around everywhere you go. So it's something we can see in this matchup. But Broncos fans, Chargers fans, you guys can catch all the action. Also catch the recap on Locked On Broncos and Locked On Chargers. John, Daniel, thank you so much for joining us here for this crossover show. Looking forward to this Sunday's matchup. Can't wait to obviously see the outcome of it. Hopefully the Broncos can get their first win, and you know, hopefully they can limit Phillip Rivers a little bit.
All right, Cody, it was great having you for this first of two crossover shows this season. And both teams really need a win this week, and I can't wait to see how it plays out on Sunday. All right, well, that is going to wrap the show up today. Special thanks to Cody Rourke for getting together with us this week to give us that great insight on the Broncos. We'll be back with you guys tomorrow to keep discussing this game and get into our keys for success in the game, telling you what we think the Chargers need to do to have success in the game this weekend. Until then, make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC and to like the Facebook page Locked On Chargers, as well as subscribing to us wherever you get your podcast from: Google Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn. And if you guys want to get your thoughts on the show, make sure to go to the Locked On Chargers voicemail line and call 323-524-7924. Every Chargers voicemail that we get gets played on the show, and we want to do another voicemail show for you guys soon. So if you have those questions, make sure to hit us up on the Locked On Chargers voicemail or on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. But we will talk to you guys tomorrow. Until then, take it easy and go Bolts.